Moncrief on News Talk.
In this country and around the world, women's football is increasing in popularity and at such a rate that it's estimated that by the end of this decade, it will be one of the top five sports in the world. Kathleen McNamara from Off the Ball is host of the Come On You Girls in Greed podcast. Kathleen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So why has it suddenly become so popular? Is there a money aspect to this?
There definitely is. I think there's far more attention being paid to women's sport in general. It's far more acceptable for women to play sport, talk about sport, be interested in sport than ever before. And also commercial brands are continually seeing the benefit of getting involved in women's sport and particularly women's soccer, because like soccer in general is the top sport in the world. So it makes sense that the women's edition of it is the quickest one to get into these upper echelons of top sports.
Right. OK. And but presumably to get to that point where the big brands are interested in it, you know, it has to be driven on the ground a bit. Where has that been happening?
It's been happening a lot, I think, in the main leagues and also in the international tournaments. So if you look over in England, when they hosted the last Euros 4 years ago, there was a massive boost into the league there, the Women's Super League, because England, the home team, went all the way. I was over there for it. I covered the game and it got to the point where you were seeing these matches casually in pubs. There were people casually talking about them on the street. All of a sudden, people knew all the big names. And I think that's where it's starting to grow. Over here, I think it's been massive in terms of having big names like Kayna McCabe playing over there, Heather Payne, Courtney Brosnan being one of the best players in the league. So I think the continued visibility of it has been absolutely massive. Sky, a couple of years ago, took on the Women's Super League, so they're showing matches. They're generally at times where there aren't competition with other sports. So say they might show a match at 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening where there's generally very little sport happening unless maybe there's a major golf tournament happening over in the States or something. And then we saw as recently as the last month, Disney Plus have announced that they've taken on the rights for the Champions League, which, of course, Kayna McCabe won a couple of weeks ago with Arsenal. And again, you're just getting this constant kind of deluge of information about the game. You're able to watch it easy. Games are way more accessible to go to. Again, looking at the Arsenal example, they're going to have all their Women's Super League games in the Emirates this year rather than having any in Boreham Wood, which is very, very difficult to get to, whereas obviously North London and the Emirates is very well serviced. So again, it's the accessibility, it's the knowing of these names, it's the fact that, you know, there are 45,000 girls and women playing football in Ireland now, and that's increasing year on year, 25,000 in schools. I think it's the constant impact of seeing things, being able to buy the merch, you know, it's just, it's accessibility.
Yeah. And the crowds going to the matches now
are massive.
Yeah.
So since the World Cup, say, of an Irish example, we've had five games in the Aviva, which have had like an average attendance of about 25,000. I think the biggest game that they had was around 35,000 for one match. You look at, say, Barcelona, who are kind of have been the reigning champions of Europe up until this year. They filled out Camp Nou for one of their games against Real Madrid. It was a Champions League quarterfinal in 2022, so it wasn't even a final. 90,000 people going to see it, and the atmosphere is incredible. And I actually think what the really big growth for women's football in particular is it's getting really good and not just being a family game. You know, it's attracting people like myself who is in their late 20s or people in their early 30s, mid 30s who want to go to a game with their mates. They want to have a pint or they want to have a bit of crack in the pub before or afterwards, whatever it is. It's not just marketing itself as a game that's for families to go to and it's a nice day out. It still is a nice day out, but you don't have to be under the age of 15 to enjoy it, you know? And if you look at these consumers as well, the figure you said there about the end of the decade, it's going to be the top fit or in the top five most watched sports and most followed sports. The consumer age of that group is going to be people in their mid-20s to mid-30s. They're in the top 50% of the most wealthy people in the world. So they're going to be looking to buy merchandise. They're going to be looking to invest in these games, invest in teams. So that's where the popularity is going to keep coming.
Yeah. And is it attracting equal amounts of men and women or is it still mostly women?
It's a weird one. I think it's actually it's mostly men still, funny enough. If you look at any of the viewing figures, it's actually still mostly men, but that is changing. So it's about, I think, 55-45%. So it's not that far off it, okay. But that is going to switch a lot. I think what you get is probably more men watching it on TV and a lot more women actually going to the games. So like, right, you'll notice a demographic difference in when you go to a match compared to when Sky or whoever released their figures about what the gender breakdown is.
Yeah, so it's not, you don't go to a women's match and there's loads of men mansplaining to you what's going on.
I mean, there's always a few somewhere, but no, generally it's a pretty even crowd.
Yeah, and it's so internationally, obviously it's becoming huge in the UK. In other parts of the world, in terms of things like European competitions and World Cups, who would be the up and coming powerhouses?
So the biggest leagues, you would say, is probably the league in England and also the NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League in the States. It's had a long, long history. I mean, before that Barcelona game that I mentioned, the biggest ever game of women's football was hosted in the Rose Bowl, and that featured the US women's national team, who have long been powerhouses. But the other countries are actually really interesting. It's your likes of your China, Brazil, India. Again, all like countries that are developing in a lot of other ways. We're also seeing that come through on the women's sports side as well. There's an argument to be made, and I think you would probably see this across like men's soccer as well, that the European football is the most competitive and is producing the best players, but the Americans would always have something to say about that. So it is really a global product at the moment and is just growing. I mean, the next World Cup will be really interesting because that's being hosted over in South America. So that should be really cool. We have the Euros starting this summer. Unfortunately, Ireland are not there after losing their playoff to Wales just there over Christmas. But yeah, that's starting in the next month. So again, that's another great opportunity to kind of give the game a boost. And there's no other major like football tournament on at the time. So what are you going to do if it's 2 o'clock of a Tuesday afternoon and you've nothing to watch?
Sure, you might as well. And in Ireland, is there still a bit of depending on players to go across the sea?
I think so, unfortunately. And that's probably going to be the case for the while. If you were to look at maybe one of the downsides, I think the football here has always competed with GAA. Like, basically every community in Ireland has some sort of GAA team that you can play for, whether that's LGFA or Camogie if you're a girl. A lot less of them would have had access to soccer.
Yeah.
And I think there's a feeling that when the women's team aren't qualifying for these major tournaments, that soccer is going to get forgotten a little bit more on a domestic scale. So it's just one of those things of trying to keep talking about it, which we do a lot on Off the Ball, and also looking to what our players are doing across the water, your Katie McCabe's, Courtney Brosnan, whoever it may be, and saying, look, we actually can still inspire based off what they're doing at club level. It doesn't just need to be international level as well.
Yeah. Kathleen, thanks very much for coming in to tell us about that. That was Kathleen McNamee there from Off the Ball and host of the Come On You Girls in Green podcast.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.